in Russian. But before I do that, I just gotta jump in and say, you guys have heard my own personal ad running, saying that if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, I mean, you can go through the station to advertise with the station. But the reality is, if you want to ensure that you're advertising on this show because you like this content and you want to be a part of the Right Side team, then you need to contact Right Side directly. All right, don't just call others. Call Right Side. Literally, go on our website, rightsideradio.org. Go to the contact tab, and there'll be a place on there that tells you if you want to advertise on Right Side, how we can connect you. All right, just consider that's how we got some of our team members right now. They contacted us directly to make sure that their ads are running on Right Side Radio. That's the deal. Plus, when that happens, we wind up putting those team members who advertise with us directly on our website as well, so people can go to our website and not just downloading podcasts and shopping on the Right Side store and doing those things, but they're also seeing who our team members are. So that's why, if you look at our page right now, rightsideradio.org, you'll see scrolling across the top, you'll see the ads of the team members who sponsor with us directly, and we are extremely appreciative. So if you want to be a Right Side team member, contact Right Side directly, go to rightsideradio.org. Hey, before I go on to the next topic of the Triple Dipper, let me just hit a couple things in the news that I had in my hands before I got to call Casey Wardinski that I want to make sure I touch on. Number one. You know, we have to consider this, and it's something that I almost kind of jumped back on with Casey Wardinski, but I didn't have the time. But here's the thing. We have to consider, and you know, truthfully, here's the problem. I have to trust the Biden administration to tell me what's true and what's not, which they don't always do. But listen, there are reports right now, top cybersecurity officials Saturday, according to a story on Fox News dated today, said that Russia could very likely hit the U.S. with a cyber attack if we wind up levying tough sanctions. Now listen, if we wind up seeing, and by the way, state governments, so in Alabama, I was a senator who sat on what was known as, Cyber Commission, I've forgotten. Anyway, the bottom line is this. I sat on a study commission that reviewed our IT in Alabama, and the state of Alabama was woefully behind. In fact, the state of Alabama had been probed by outside governments through its payroll systems, retirement systems, multiple times. Hacks like that can have devastating effects on state governments, which then wind up having a crippling effect on economies, period. Can you imagine what would happen if a foreign government got into the state payroll or retirement system and shut it down so that we couldn't pay our retirees or employees for a period of time? It'd be devastating. Well, so right now, reports on Fox News, cybersecurity officials are warning that U.S. and NATO allies who have promised to hit Russia with swift, severe economic sanctions should be definitely concerned about Russia, which has a history of this, launching cyber attacks against them. It may not be a shooting war, per se, but it would nonetheless be an act of aggression if they tried to impact our economies. Keep your eyes on that, and I would dare say that would change the calculus completely if we wind up seeing our personal economies being affected. Also, be aware, too, according to USNavalIntelligence.org, NATO command of the USS Harry Truman, one of our American aircraft carrier strike groups, has been put under alliance control. That's interesting. It also is designed, they say, in this particular periodical dated 2 days ago, that this is designed to send a message to Russia that the 30 members of NATO are unwavering in their commitment to each other and that we will place our troops into each other's command elements as part of the NATO alliance force, if that's what's necessary. Interesting. I'm just reading the news. I'm not giving you an opinion on it. Lastly, military.com, the not-so-conservative bastion of military news, is reporting that the Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Mark Milley, has recently said that a Russian invasion could have a devastating effect on the Ukrainian economy. That's dated 2 days ago. Well, that's to be expected. I mean, reality. So, I don't know. Here's the bottom line, folks. If you're asking me what Phil Williams thinks, just Phil Williams, you know, am I a retired colonel? Did I work in the Pentagon some? Yes. Am I considered a foreign policy expert? No. Do I have a microphone right now? Yep. So, what I'm saying is this. I do believe that we have to take it very seriously that Russia, headed by Vladimir Putin, who longs for the days of the Soviet Union, has massed 130,000 troops along a sovereign border of a friendly nation with whom we have good relations. Not a NATO member, but nonetheless, surrounded by NATO members. I do believe we have to take that seriously. I don't believe we can look aside or say we have no interest in that, because we do. Because here's the thing. First Ukraine, then who next? If Putin is given unchecked authority to march across Europe and do what he wants, to turn on the pipeline when he feels like it, to exert influence when he cares to cyber attack, which he had already, by the way, launched cyber attacks on Ukraine just in the last 10 days, then what? Now, do I want to see U.S. troops over there? No, I don't. Do I think we have that level of national interest? No, not at all. Not at this point, I don't. Not unless something changes that calculus, but right now we do not. However, we do have a desire to see on the world stage that the United States is deemed to be a player, that we have influence, and that we care about aggressive moves on friendly sovereign nations. That's the fine line I'm trying to walk right now, but I also don't believe that we can just take any aspect of the four-part acronym DIME off the table. Diplomacy, information, intelligence, military, economic, all of it has to be forward posture in this particular case, or we lose leverage. There's that. At the same time, we better keep our eyes on China. Better keep our eyes on China. Better watch what's happening. Why is North Korea launching more missiles into the Sea of Japan? Why are things happening the way they are in Syria? What does Russia care about Syria? Oh, maybe it's that warm water port near the Bosphorus. Why do we see things happening in other parts of the world? What is Iran doing in the nuclear negotiations? What's happening on the borders of Israel? Do we care? We better care. We better care in a robust fashion. Do I want to see us mounting up wars? I'm not calling for that. What I'm saying, though, is we should exert influence. We should project influence. And people should care what we think. And right now, what I'm concerned about is the Biden administration projects weakness to such a degree that Russia and China feel emboldened, and the world in which we live is less safe because of who's the president right now. That's exactly what I think. All right, folks, listen, I'm going to shift gears. I tell you what, Copper, let's do this. Rather than we start a segment with only about 3 minutes to go before the break, let's go ahead and take the break now. When we come back, I'll have more time to start unpacking what's going on, what is happening, our elections. Why are the courts involved in telling us that we have to redraw the lines? Will you even live in your congressional district when that's done? Wow. That's happening as we speak. I'll give you the update on that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.
News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. By the way, you may have heard me say it briefly earlier, but if you want to check it out, rightsideradio.org, our website, we have a Right Side store now. Yeah, Right Side store. You can get on there and buy your Right Side swag. I mean, we got coffee mugs, we got t-shirts, we got phone cases with the Right Side logo on it. How cool is that? My favorite, I don't know why Charlene still laughs at me. I've said it several times. My favorite, for some reason, is the Right Side Radio socks. I don't know why. I get a kick out of it. It just, so yeah, Right Side Sock. Anyway, the Right Side store, rightsideradio.org. Check it out. Right Side Radio's got swag. Hey, listen, I just got a text, by the way, from a young Army officer. I'm just going to quote it, talking about the Ukraine situation. He's concerned with the somewhat isolationist tone that he hears from Casey Wardinsky, for one, but he also hears it from other perspectives like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. But this young Army officer just texted me and said, overly partisan conservatives are downplaying Ukraine because if it goes well, it could help Biden's image. He said, sometimes national interests align with your political opponent's interest. Understanding that fact is what separates the hacks from the patriots. Wow, that's a perspective. All right, young Army officer, you need to write op-eds, I'm just saying. So listen, let me do this. I'm switching gears. I spent a lot of time there in the first part of the Triple Dipper, which was Ukraine Explained. All right, we got more to do. I haven't even gotten to number two yet, although I did touch on it with Casey Wardinsky because it impacts his race. So here's the deal. Alabama, number two on the Triple Dipper, Alabama redraws the lines again. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. What am I talking about? Williams, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is once again, the courts have intervened to say, oh, Alabama, oh, silly Alabama, you don't know what you're doing. Well, yeah, we do. But there are laws in place that some want to construe as, to their favor. And that's what's happening right now. So here's the deal. For instance, I've got an article that was posted out of UAB's newsletter, I guess. It's where I found it. UAB.edu is the website where I got it. January 11th of this year, talking about what the 2020 census data tells us. Remember, that's the 2020 census came out and shocked everybody. Huntsville's now the biggest city in the state. Alabama's not losing a congressional seat. Birmingham is almost the third largest city now. It's barely, like by 120 people or something like that, is bigger than Montgomery. All right, but what that does is that drives the drawing of the election lines, the district lines for Congress, for state legislature, for school districts, and they do it by population. Well, that census data got to us late, but the article here points out that a part of what we have to do with it, though, once we get it, is we have to redraw congressional districts. So right now, the majority of this listening audience lives within either the 4th or 5th congressional district of Alabama. Huntsville squarely in the 5th, just south of Huntsville and stretching from, the western border to the eastern border of the state across the band below Huntsville is District 4. That's held by Congressman Robert Adderholt. Below that, we have districts that include the rest of our congressional delegation. Gary Palmer, Barry Moore, Jerry Carl, Mike Rogers, and then the only Democrat in the entire congressional delegation for Alabama is Terry Sewell. Terry Sewell's district is the one being sort of contested. Now, keep in mind, the districts that we redrew in 2010 are not that different than what they were before. So for decades, Alabama's congressional districts have been largely the same. And the census data is given for the purposes of drawing these because there's the old rule of what they call one person, one vote, meaning that when they draw these district lines, they have to draw it by population balance. And within a certain deviation, you have to have roughly the same level of population in one district as you do another. Now, sometimes that means there's a ton of people packed into, let's just take Huntsville, for instance. In fact, my buddy Bill Holtzclaw, who is now running for state senate again, I used to kid him because he could throw a rock from one side geographically of his congressional district because he lives in Madison and it's such a dense population. Me, where I served at the time, was State Senate District 10. It took two full and two partial counties for me to have a full Senate district with the same level of population. That's just how it works out. So it would take me 45 minutes to drive from one corner of my district to the other. If I wanted to go from Altoona to Broomtown, that's the far west side of Etowah to the far northeast side of Cherokee counties, It was literally a 45-minute drive or more. So the district lines are important. Here's the deal. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 pulled a story off of History.com just to make sure I had my facts straight, right? History.com reports, of course, that the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the year I was born, was passed and signed into law by President Lyndon Johnson. And it was there for the sole purpose of overcoming legal barriers. Now there were places, Alabama included, around the nation where it was made extremely difficult for black citizens to vote. I mean, there was absolutely ridiculous stuff happening in some places. In some places, it was random. Some places, it was systemic. But the reality is, there were things like poll taxes, like, you know, everybody's got to pay a special tax to be allowed to vote. Well, what that did was it kept disenfranchised poor black voters from being able to vote. Then there were things like literacy tests. Can you imagine? Well, you're going to have to stand right here and take a little written test to prove whether you really have the qualifications to understand the ballot, young man, young woman. Well, it was ridiculous. And it was all designed to disenfranchise voters, black voters especially. Well, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was designed to overcome that. It outlawed things like poll taxes and literacy tests and other impediments to voting. All right, and it was the law of the land, pretty much without any ability to challenge it, until 2013. That's right, just recently. Shelby County, Alabama challenged it because Shelby County, Alabama was saying, listen, that's not us anymore. We're not doing that stuff anymore. Why are we still having to send everything to the federal government to get it all pre-approved? Why do we have to have pre-clearance on everything that we do? And the Supreme Court agreed. So in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court, in the case of Shelby County v. Holder in 2013, literally said that constraints placed on certain states, Alabama being one of those certain states, and the federal review of state voting procedures were now outdated. And that's when we began to be able to pass things like when I was in the legislature, we passed the photo voter ID requirement. In other words, come to the polls. Come on and vote. Bring your photo ID. How hard is that? Apparently, it's not very hard because Alabama's Secretary of State John Merrill went on a major push to make sure that no one could say they couldn't have access to a voter photo ID. He literally set up at every county fair. He put trailers out in communities. He would announce through chambers of commerce and churches and everybody else that on certain days, if you don't have one, you can just walk in. We'll get you one. And if you need us to come to your house, he said, we will. And he did, by the way. And Alabama, as a result, during the pandemic, when all the other states were freaking out and racism was being decried for people who dared to ask for a voter ID, Alabama had record turnout at the polls without a hitch and had our results in that night, by God. So those things are happening right now. However, howsomever, as soon as they passed those district lines, the Democrats challenged it. And they challenged it. The new district lines for Congress, which, by the way, are pretty much the same district lines with very little deviation. I mean, you have to follow population. But they're saying that the deviation did what they call packing. The claim is that there was packing going on, that we had packed all of the majority of the black residents of this state into one district and therefore diluted their ability to choose their own candidates. Well, I disagree. Now, I disagree, but then again, so do a lot of other people. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you how this is playing out, because right now the courts have intervened and literally said, Alabama, you have to redraw your lines. Alabama's saying, no, we don't. Hey, Supreme Court, help us out. I'll tell you how that's all playing out, the legal fight that could change or not change your congressional districts right here in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.